We're going to continue our series this morning on barriers and bridges and how we sometimes erect those self-destructive habit patterns in our life and how God hopefully builds bridges and blows up the barriers. We also talk about ruts. And in the old days, I've been told this, I'm not that old, but when they had the Model A's and Model T's, that they oftentimes said, choose your rut wisely because you'll be in it for the next 10 or 15 miles. And or in other words, someone once said a rut is a grave with both ends knocked out. So whether you talk about barriers and bridges or ruts, we're talking about these self-destructive habit patterns and how God hopefully brings us life-giving patterns that set our hearts free. Now this morning I have a very simple question for you, and it's this. What do these two things have in common? A remote control and a steering wheel. One is a... And you're right. If you said a remote control, and it's a man, but it's also women, especially at this time of the year when it's football season and baseball playoffs, you don't want any woman messing around with your remote control, all right? You want to make certain that you can control the channels. And I've oftentimes said that that all this aside, you know, that I think, men like to channel surf, at least I do. And whenever there's a commercial and I go to another channel, I think it ought to be forbidden by law that there's another commercial on that channel, all right? That is just not right. But, you know, it's not always true, but, you know, guys like to have the remote control in their hands because the baseball playoffs and the football games are on. And wouldn't it be really neat to be able to control your life like a remote control? When we would go to my in-laws in Michigan for vacation or maybe Christmas, they had a small little house, and so some of us got to sleep out in the living room on the floor. And sure enough, about 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, my father-in-law was up, and he had the television set on. And so there it is, the lights are glimmering in your face. But the thing I remember very vividly here was that he had control of the remote control, which is right and proper. It was his house, right, and his TV set. But whenever the commercial came on, he would always mute it. And I like to watch some commercials. Some commercials just drive me bananas, but he would always mute it. And what was really frustrating is he would forget to unmute it when the television program came back on. Okay? Now, wouldn't it be neat to be able to have that remote control in your hand, and you're able to flip buttons and control your pain, your mess, your circumstances, and even those people who disagree with you or cause you problems, you can just go and mute them. That would solve the problem for a lot of us, right? Amen? Right? Amen? Okay, we all know this. Men and women, okay? Now, what about a steering wheel? How many of you like to be behind the steering wheel, all right? Anybody? All the rest of you love to be passengers. Wow, hey, Ned, man. You know what? And Bob, why do you like to be behind the steering wheel? Why? You're in control, right? Because with Karen driving, who knows where you might head up, right? And so we like to be, because we want to make certain we steer clear of those potholes, that we turn where we want to turn, that we go where we want to go. And wouldn't it be cool in life if you had a remote control and only a steering wheel, and you can control your life, you can go where you want to in life and avoid all the pain, all the distress, all the brokenness, all the potholes of life. Very simply told, however, it's a lot more difficult, because I don't care whether you're a man or a woman, we like to be in control. We like to be in control, and it doesn't always happen that way. There's a poem that was written. Where do you go at this crazy thing? Anyway, I'm not sure where we're at now. Okay? I'm not even in control. So, but anyway, there was a poem that was written back in 1875. And in 1875, there was this man who wrote a poem that was called Invictus. And the last stanza says this: "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Now, I hate to admit this, friends, but very simply, we're not in control. We cannot control the times, and we cannot control the seasons, and we cannot control the outcomes. Now, true, we want to be in charge, and we should be in charge, and we should be in control, but ultimately, we're not in control of times, nor seasons, nor outcomes. One of the most frustrating things for me as a pastor is this. We are moving through fall, and we come into winter. And what happens in winter? It snows. And when does it usually snow? On Sunday morning. That's right. And so I open up the window and I look out the window on Sunday morning, and man alive, there's snow on the ground. And that means the walks are going to have to be shoveled, and there's going to be people calling me saying, are we going to have church? We're going to have church, okay? Unless it's really, really deep. But it really just, you know, I'm not in control of the times and the seasons. Today, the Colts played the Patriots. For some reason, down deep in my bones, I've got a very bad feeling about all that. I really do. I cannot control, and I'm not a Cubs fan, but David's a Cubs fan, so I've been watching the playoffs with the Cubs. And I have to admit that over my lifetime, I've watched enough ball games to understand that, you know, the way I hold my mouth, the way I fold my arms, the way I hold my ear, the way I cross my fingers, the way I sit in that chair does not control the outcome of that game. No matter what I do, by holding my hand a certain way or looking at my mouth a certain way, am I going to control Andrew Luck making a pass to T.Y. Hilton, who's going to go in for a touchdown every single time he catches the ball? It's not going to control the outcome of that game. And that really, really perturbs me. Because why? I'm a control freak. And if we would have to admit, every single one of you are probably control freaks as well. There's a story that is told in the chapter of Luke, chapter 10. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came and she to him and asked. Now, let's stop right there a minute. Jesus has been a very good friend of Mary and Martha for these many, many years, okay? And Mary and Martha asked him to come home for a dinner. They wanted just to honor him with a dinner, a little lunch one day. And so he accepted the invite. And he came home and he sat down in the living room. Mary, who wants to be a good host, goes into the living room and along with Jesus begins to converse with him and listens to Jesus while Martha tromps off to the kitchen, and there she's making chicken salad, she's making some potato salad, she's making iced tea, she's making a small little dessert, and every conversation, you can hear it, okay? The conversation is occurring in here with Mary and Jesus, and out in the kitchen you can hear the slamming of pots and pans. You can hear the slamming of cupboard doors. You can hear knives hitting that cutting board. She cuts that chicken up for that chicken salad. You can hear all the clanging and banging out there. And finally, the doors burst open and Martha comes into that living room and she says what? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Now get this. Before Jesus has even a chance to answer her, she says, tell her to help me. Now, how do you can tell a control freak is said very simply in this passage of Scripture that you're a control freak when you get to the point where you tell the Son of God what to do? All right? She's actually telling Jesus what to do. She puts Jesus into this advisory role and says, Jesus, tell her to help me. She doesn't ask or wait for him to answer. She tells him. And we're control freaks, friends, and we have to admit this, we like to be able sometimes to tell God what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and where to do it. Is that not right? I've done it before, you have done it before, and I pray, Lord, forgive us. Now, how do we deal with all of this? Step number three. Step number one, we admitted our brokenness. Step number two, we admitted our need. Step number three, I consciously or intentionally choose to commit all my life to Christ's care and control. I consciously choose to make a decision to commit all my life to Christ's care and control. It's the step of surrender. And surrender is a very spooky word for a control freak. How many of you remember these prayers? When I was a child and I was growing up, there was a prayer that I oftentimes prayed at dinner time, and it said something like this. God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. And so it's a prayer of affirmation, a prayer that God is great, that he's big, that he's awesome, that he's good, and that he wants to bless me. That God will provide for me my daily bread to give me the strength to get up and do the things I need to do. It's a prayer of affirmation. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. It's a prayer of blessing God. There's another prayer that we prayed when we went to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. For some reason, that sounds a little spooky for a child to pray. Now, wait a minute, Mommy, I'm not going to sleep. No, you go to sleep. I'm not going to close my eyes. I might die. You know, really, think about that. But it's a prayer of surrender. We're saying, when I go to sleep and close my eyes, that I have a great big God who's watching over me, who cares for me, who protects me, who keeps me. He's there when I cannot see, when I'm unaware, just like my mommy and my daddy are there, God is watching over me. It's a prayer of surrender. What about this one? We pray this prayer as well. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, what? Thy will be done. It's a prayer of surrender. When Jesus was in the garden and he was saying, Father, Father, isn't there some other way that I can deal with the sins of humanity? Isn't there some other way? And yet he says, it's not my will, but yours be done. A prayer of surrender to the Lord. Again, there's no other word I don't think is more scary and more fearful for a control freak than that word surrender. We like to think that we can manipulate the circumstance, that we can manipulate the person, that we can manipulate the things, the times, the seasons, the outcomes, and that we can be in control. But I've got news for you this morning. You can't. You can't. Your child will, goodness gracious, they will lick the walls of the bathroom stall at Walmart before you have opportunity to say, no, don't do that. Or the glass pane windows, or the little bar out there. You know, they get their tongue stuck to it when it's cold outdoors. I was walking through Ross. Remember Ross's and Wise's grocery stores? Up there where Ontario Corporation was. I was pushing the cart along and picking out the stuff. And, you know, your children will mimic you. And so I bent down, and I had one of my little girls. She was following me, back and back of me. And I bent down to pick a can of corn off the bottom shelf. Just in time for her also, she bent down to mimic me, and she bent down. But rather than pick a can of corn up, she picked up somebody's chewed up piece of gum and stuck it in her mouth. Before I had an opportunity to say, no, don't do that. I tell you, all these thoughts ran through my mind. Who chewed that gum? What kind of diseases did they have? And I picked her up and I said, spit that gum out, spit that gum out, spit the gum out, spit the gum out, you know. And all I could think about was I have to get home and I have to wash her mouth out. You know, where's the peroxide? Where's the vinegar? Well, whatever it is, you wash her. Where's the Listerine? I got to wash her mouth out. We're not in control, are we? We're not in control of the way things happen, the way people do things. You know, our finances can blow away in the wind. We can have a relationship fail us. We can't even control our own messes in life. We're completely out of control. And so we need to come to that point in our life where we learn to take our hands off our mess, off our lives, and to say, Lord, I surrender. And there's no more heart-altering, life-shaping word and prayer than the prayer of surrender. When we go back to the book of Matthew, we read these Beatitudes. These are the first three. Blessed are the poor in spirit. In other words, blessed are the broken. Blessed are those who are at the bottom of the heap, who've hit bottom. Blessed are those who mourn. That is, who have a godly sorrow over their sins or over their destructive lifestyle. And then we come to the third one, which is blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, what do you think about when you think about meek? You think about somebody who's a wimp, somebody who's a weenie, somebody who, you know, is just a pushover. What does it mean to be meek? Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. My grandpa, Rush, I have a picture of him at home, and he's in a wagon with my grandma and my aunt when she was small, and they're tossing some hay out of the hay and straw out of the wagon onto a pile. And in front of that, they have two mules, and he had mules. He didn't have horses, but whether you have workhorses or mules, they're both the same. Whether you ride a horse, a mule, there's strength there. And so he would have mules, and I used to know their names, but I forgot their names. So you take these horses, these workhorses, you take these mules, and you put a harness on them, or you take some reins or a bridle and bit, and what happens? You now have the ability to control that strength and that power. You can tell that horse, that mule, where to go, when to stop, when to go. It's strength under control. And so when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we surrender to him our mess and our brokenness, what we're actually doing is saying, Lord, would you take control of my mess? But in the midst of you taking charge and control, you give me the ability to control my mess. You put me more in charge because I'm learning what it means to walk in the anointing of the Spirit of God in my life. So when he says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, it's actually blessed are those who've learned what it means to surrender to the one who is actually in control. But in doing so, you learn what it means to have self-control underneath his control. And there's peace that comes in that surrender. There's not only peace that comes in that surrender, but there's power that comes in that surrender. And we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I've made a mess of my life. I'm broken. I can't do it any longer. I'm in a rut. I've hit a barrier. I've hit a wall. Lord, you know, would you please take over and do for me what I cannot do for myself? You remember Carrie Underwood's song, Jesus, Take the Wheel? You know, Jesus, would you take the wheel? Jesus, would you take the remote? Jesus, would you take control of my life? Now, why do we not take that step? I think of two things, two reasons. One is pride. We think that we can do it and that we can somehow handle it and that we have it all in control when actually our life is spinning out of control, but pride. Second one is fear. We're afraid of where that decision to surrender to the Lord might take us. We're afraid and we're scared in our own heart. Now, for some of us, you know, we hang on to that as a destructive habit, as I've said, because it's our security blanket. It has become our identity. And so to surrender that, we're saying, Lord, where are you going to take us? We don't quite understand where you're going to go with this. And yet the good things about this is, remember what I said last week? Jesus puts a face on God. And he tells me and shows me that my God is good, that my God is gracious, that my God is forgiving. And so when I give control of my heart and my life to God, I know that he isn't going to make my life miserable. He's going to set me free. He's going to bless my life with forgiveness. He's going to do for me what I cannot do for myself. And he's going to give me the ability to walk in that blessed assurance that Jesus is truly ours and that we have a power greater than our very own. You know, I stop and I think about this and I say, you know, here it is. Pride, fear keeps us from giving our lives completely and totally over to God. You know, we hold on to the mess like we hold on to that security blanket. And one day Jesus came to his disciples and he said, will you two also leave me? And this passage of scripture has meant a lot to me for, you know, it just speaks to me because he turns to his disciples when everybody else is walking away and says, will you two also leave me? And Peter says, as the verse says, who else would we go to? You alone have the words of eternal life. But let's put this in the form of a paraphrase. Where else would we go? There's nowhere else to go. We're going to hold on to you, Lord. We're going to hold on to you. We know where you're taking us. We're kind of scared about it, but we know that you're good. And we know that you're great. And we know that you're holy. And we know that you're God. And we can trust you. There's nowhere else to turn. You alone have the words of eternal life. In other words, we come to that point in our life when we realize that I can't, God can. And we give everything we have over to God. And it's a very life-altering, heart-shaping experience because now we can say, I trust you with my life, with my home, my finances. I trust you with my brokenness. I trust you, God, with my mess. I'm out of control. I've got a mess. Lord, I trust you with that mess. I surrender all. There was an alcoholic who was a part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And this was back, you know, before they had the Apple Watch and all these digital watches they have nowadays. But many of us remember these watches, and actually his recovery began when he purchased this watch. He'd been dealing with alcohol, couldn't seem to beat it, continually just being beat up by all of that. And he bought this watch, and it had a chronometer on it. It had a stopwatch on it. It had the seasons of the year on it. I mean, it had everything but hot and cold running water, he said. And then he says, I realized something. When I looked at that watch, I realized that if it ever broke, I wasn't going to be able to take it back to an ordinary repairman. I couldn't even take it back to the store for them to actually repair it. I would have to take it back to its maker. And then he says very simply, it came to me that my life was a complicated affair, that my life was broken down and running out of control, and that God could either take me and I could just actually continue my course and end up on the trash dump of history, Or I could run back to the Maker, the Creator who made me and who could fix me and who could take my mess and make me whole again. And that's what we're talking about when we talk about this very simple stage and step of surrender. A very simple step, and yet a very difficult step for those of us who have become control freaks. For those of us who need to step off that throne and say, Lord, I can't control my life, I can't control my mess, I can't control my brokenness any longer, I give it to you. And so the simple question that I have to ask myself, and the question that I ask you this morning is, what kind of barrier have you run up against? What kind of rut have you found yourself in? And you find yourself hitting that wall. And we're trying to handle it in our own pride. We're trying to handle it in our own strength. And time and time and time again, we just keep... It's just like a small child who has a problem. And you come along and you say, can I help you? And they don't want your help. Well, you continue to let them make mistake after mistake after mistake. But you know, they come to that point in time and they say, well, Daddy, will you help me? Daddy, will you help me? And that's what we do when we come to this point in our life. We say, Daddy, Father in heaven, God, will you help me? And we surrender to Him and say, Lord, I'm going to take all that mess and I'm going to give it to You. And I know that You will set me free, that You will give to me blessings in return, and that You will enable me to live a life, once again, being restored after the image that You created me to be in, and You will restore me to that place where I can honor You with all that I am, with all that I want to be, and with wherever I am in my own life, in my own heart, the step of surrender, the stage of surrender. Difficult, hard, but what a blessing. What a blessing. Precious Lord, today we come. And Lord God, this is, just a very simple word that you give to us. And yet, Lord Jesus, as we come to You today, we say, our Father who art in heaven, you know, You're holy, You're awesome. You want to bless us. Our God is great, our God is good. And Lord, we can go to sleep this evening and lay down in peace, because the Bible says You grant the beloved peace. And yet, Lord, when we have that stirring of our own soul and we've tried to keep the mess to ourselves, we cannot rest as You want us to rest. So today, Lord, maybe there's someone here who's dealing with a mess in their life, or they know someone who's in a mess and they're dealing with brokenness. And Lord, we intercede for them today. But Lord, help us to just come and say, Lord God, with all that I am and all that I want to be, Lord, I give it to You. Lord, would You take my heart? Jesus, would You take the wheel? Would You take the wheel, Lord? And would You be the master and Lord of my life? Would You sit upon the throne? Not my will, but Yours be done. And Lord, set us free. Set us free. Grant us peace. And grant us rest in the name of Jesus. Amen.